الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، تسجيلات دار السنة السلفية في لندن يسرها أن تقدم لكم هذه المادة. نسأل الله عز وجل أن ينفع بها الإسلام والمسلمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، أيها الإخوة الفضلاء، في هذه الليلة الطيبة نكمل درسنا في شرح نواقض الإسلام، ولآخر الكتاب قال المصنف رحمه الله: ولا فرق في جميع هذه النواقض بين الهازل والجاد والخائف إلا المكره، وكلها من أعظم ما يكون خطرا وأكثر ما يكون وقوعا، فينبغي للمسلم أن يحذرها ويخاف منها على نفسه، نعوذ بالله من موجبات غضبه وأليم عقابه. وصلى الله على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. المؤلف رحمه الله أراد بهذه الخاتمة أن يحذر الناس ويحذر المسلم من الوقوع في شيء من هذه النواقض، بأن يقوله أو يفعله جادا أو هازلا، إذ إن من قال شيئا من هذه النواقض على سبيل الهزل يدل فعله على الاستخفاف بالشريعة والتجرؤ على ما يناقضها، فلا يجوز لمسلم أن يقول شيئا من الأقوال الشركية على سبيل الهزل أو يستهزئ بشيء من دين الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أو ثوابه أو عقابه على سبيل الهزل. وكذلك في جميع النواقض لا يجوز لأحد أن يستخف بذلك أو يعمل شيئا منه، لأن ذلك مثل ما يقال لعب بالنار لعظم خطورته و كبر جنحه وإثمه، فالحذر الحذر من ذلك. من وقع في شيء من هذه النواقض كفر بذلك، سواء كان قد وقع فيها هازلا أو مازحا أو جادا صدا عامدا، أو ارتكبها إلا المكره كما قال المصنف رحمه الله. والإكراه، الإكراه لا يكون بمجرد التخويف أو التهديد، بل لابد أن يكون إكراها بالقول والفعل، كمن يضرب أو يعذب أو يخنق أو يجلد. وإذا أكره يجب أن يكون قلبه مطمئن بالإيمان، كما قال الله عز وجل: إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان، ولكن من شرح بالكفر صدرا فعليهم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم. وقد ورد نص في كتاب الله عز وجل، وهي هذه الآية: حين كان عمار ابن ياسر تحت العذاب وما زالوا به حتى ذكر آلهتهم بخير، فجاء إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقال بعض الصحابة: كفر عمار. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما كفر عمار، إن عمارا ملئ إيمانا من أخمصه إلى مشاشه. فأنزل الله تعالى الآية: إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان. وهذا الإكراه وهذا الخوف قول المصنف رحمه الله الجاد والخائف إلا المكره. قول الشيخ والخائف يعني أن الخائف مجرد خوف لا يباح له ولا يعد مكرها إلا إذا أحس بالعذاب أو فتت بالقاتل وما أشبه ذلك. قال شيخنا الشيخ أحمد رحمه الله أحمد النجمي: وهناك مسألة ينبغي التنبيه عليها، وهي هل الإكراه يكون عذرا في القول والفعل أو في القول فقط؟ هذا محل نظر، إذ إن عمار بن ياسر ما سجد لآلهتهم ولا طاف بها ولا ذبح لها، ولكن قال بلسانه قولا، فهل الفعل يكون مثل ذلك؟ من طلب منه أن يسجد لصنم أو يفعل شيئا من الأفعال التي تعد شركا أكبر، فهل يجوز له ذلك ترخصا بفعل عمار الذي نزلت فيه الآية؟ فعل عمار الذي حصل منه إنما هو بالقول. وقد جاء في حديث الذباب في القائل: دخل رجل الجنة في ذباب، قول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، ودخل رجل النار في ذباب. والحديث أخرجه الإمام أحمد في الزهد أبو نعيم في الحلية موقوفا على سلمان الفارسي، وقد ضعفه الألباني رحمه الله. قال شيخنا رحمه الله: إن صح فهو دليل على التفريق بين القول والفعل، إذ إن الآخر الذي قرب ذبابا يحتمل أن يكون مكرها، ويحتمل أنه يعتقد جواز ذلك. فإن كان يعتقد جواز ذلك فإنه دخل النار بسبب اعتقاده، وإن كان مكرها فإنه يكون كل ما قدمه المسلم لغير الله، وإن كان قليلا كالذباب أو كبيرا كالجمل فإنه يعتبر بذلك قد خرج من الإسلام واستحق النار. لأن الإكراه يقول شيخنا رحمه الله إنما يكون في القول دون الفعل. وهذه المسألة وهذا التفصيل من المؤلف رحمه الله يبين فيه خطورة هذه النواقص، وأنه يجب أن يحذر المسلم من الوقوع في ذلك ولو كان هازلا أو مازحا، فلا يمزح مثل هذه المسائل. حتى قال بعض السلف: يحذر المسلم أن يخرج من الإسلام وهو لا يشعر، وهو لا يشعر. كل ذلك لبيان خطورة الوقوع في هذه النواقص. قال شيخنا الشيخ زيد حفظه الله: يجب على المسلم أن يحذرها ويخاف وقوعها من نفسه سفها أو جهلا. وليعلم المسلم وطالب العلم أنه لا يتم الحذر منها إلا بتعلمها، إذ الجهل بها يسبب الوقوع فيها فتنزل قاصمة الظهر. فهذا يوجب منا يا إخوة أن نتعلم هذه النواقض ونفهمها جيدا، وأن نحذر من الوقوع منها. وقد حذر الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب في آخر هذه النواقض، حذر من الوقوع منها، قال: ينبغي للمسلم أن يحذرها ويخاف منها على نفسه. ولهذا الإمام إبراهيم الخليل عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يدعو الله ويقول: وجنوبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام، رب إنهن أضللن كثيرا من الناس. فدور الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب في كتاب التوحيد باب الخوف من الشرك. فإذا قال إبراهيم التيمي فمن يأمن البلاء بعد إبراهيم؟ فلنحذر ولنخف الشرك وأن نقع في هذه النواقض، وليحفظ المسلم لسانه كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام: من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر فليقل خيرا أو ليصمت. يقل خيرا كلاما نافعا أو يصمت. وقد قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: من يضمن لي ما بين لحييه أي لسانه وما بين فخذيه أي فرجه أضمن له الجنة. فلنحفظ ألسنتنا إلا من الكلام الطيب والكلام النافع الذي ينفع المسلم. والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كان يعد له في المجلس الواحد يقول: اللهم اغفر لي وتب علي 70 مرة. يكثر من ذكر الله، ويحذر المسلم لا يجعل الكلام في مسائل الدين وفي آيات الله يجعلها هزوا، أو يأتون بعض الناس فلان الله وإياهم يأتي بالنكت وتعلق بأمور الدين وأمور الشريعة أو في الآيات، هذا لا يجوز. قد يكفر الإنسان وهو لا يشعر، نعوذ بالله من ذلك. هذا يوجب على المسلم أن يحذر وأن يخاف على نفسه، سواء كان عازلا أو جادا أو خوف مجرد خوف طبيعي. لا، إلا المكره أو الأمور التي تؤدي بها إلا إذا حس بعذاب أو هدد بالقتل، كما جاء في قصة عمار رضي الله عنه. نسأل الله تعالى أن يجنبنا وإياكم الوقوع في هذه النواقض. ودائما المسلم يدعو الله تعالى أن يثبته على دينه وعلى طاعته وعلى توحيده وعلى إخلاص العبادة لله عز وجل. ولهذا علمنا النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أن ندعو أن نقول: اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك شيئا وأنا أعلم، وأستغفرك لما لا أعلم، فإنك تعلم ما لا أعلم. نكتفي في ختام هذه النواقض بهذا الكلام، ونسأل الله تعالى أن يتقبل مني ومنكم صالح الأعمال، وأن يغفر لي ولكم الخطأ والزلل، ونسأل الله تعالى الإخلاص في القول والعمل، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. وبعد، الشيخ حفظه الله our Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, he began by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as usual, the Lord of the universe, and sending the peace and the salutations upon the one who was sent as a mercy to mankind, and upon his family and companions and those who followed him. And he said to proceed, our noble brothers, he said, in this blessed night we continue with our explanation of the book, and at the end of the book, the author, Rahimahullah, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he said, وَلَا فَرْقَ فِي جَمِيعَ هَذِهِ النَّوَاقِضِ بَيْنَ الْهَازِلِ وَالْجَادِ. And with respect to these things that nullify one's Islam, there is no difference between the one who did them in jest, the one who did them intentionally, وَالْخَائِفِ إِلَّا الْمُكْرَهِ, yes, and the one who did them out of fear, except for the one who was forced. And all of them are from the most dangerous affairs and the most common that actually occur. So it is befitting that the Muslim be warned of them and be afraid of falling into them. We seek refuge in Allah from the things that bring about His anger and His severe punishment. And may Allah raise the rank of the best of His creation, Muhammad, and that of his family and companions, and may he grant them peace. So the Sheikh Abdullah Najmi Hafidhahullah, he said that the author, may Allah have mercy on him, he intended to conclude the book in this way, or he intended by the conclusion of the book that he warned the people and the Muslim from falling into any of these nullifiers, from falling into any of these nullifiers, for the person to fall into the any of these nullifiers, whether by way of joking, yani jesting, or if the person is serious. And the Sheikh said, and whosoever falls into any of these nullifiers by way of jesting, then this shows that the person is belittling the deen. This shows that the person is belittling the religion, and this is something that is impermissible. And likewise, also when the person jokes about something which the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, or mention anything that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said or came with in a joking manner, so this is also considered belittling the religion. And the Sheikh said, and likewise any of the other nullifiers as well. All of the other nullifiers, if the person says them in a way that he's joking, then this is also impermissible, and the person there's no difference between the one who does them while joking or while being serious. So the Sheikh said, we could say about a person who does something like this, يعني, he jests about matters in the religion, he jokes about the matters in the religion, you can describe this person as a person who plays with fire. A person who is playing with fire. And this is due to the dangerous, or to the, يعني, how great is the danger that comes from this, or from these nullifiers. So the Sheikh said, so be aware of falling into this. And whosoever falls into any of them, then this person has disbelieved. Whether he was doing them, he meant them, he was in a, يعني, serious when he said them, or he was jesting only. Yes, and whether he said it intentionally or unintentionally, except the one who is compelled to do so. Except the one who is compelled and forced to do so. And as the Sheikh said, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, the Sheikh is quoting, and he said, as the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, Rahimullah, said, that the compulsion here is not merely يعني, by way of threatening the person. It's not only by way of threatening the person. Rather, it is by statement and by action that the person, for example, threatens you and he will do the action to you as well. This is when the person is under the state of compulsion and he's compelled to do something. For example, the Sheikh said, it is with statement and action, and this is by way of beating, torturing, and also lashing and things like that. This is when this is the case when you can say that the person is compelled to do so, or is compelled to do something. And the Sheikh said, if the person is compelled to say something of a statement of disbelief or things like that, then there's a condition that his heart must be full of iman, or at tranquility with iman, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the verse, except he who is compelled or who is forced while his heart was settled firmly with iman, except he who was compelled while his heart was settled with iman. And the Sheikh said, so this verse is mentioned in the Book of Allah, and this specific verse is in relation to the story of Ammar. May Allah be pleased with him. The story of Ammar bin Yasir, may Allah be pleased with him. When this companion, he was being tortured and punished by the disbelievers, so much so that he mentioned the idols or the statues that they worship, he mentioned them with something that is good. He mentioned them and he said something good about them because of the torture that he was going through. Ammar ibn Yasir, may Allah be pleased with him. So he came after that, when he said, he uttered the statement of praising the idols, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of the companions said that Ammar has disbelieved, that indeed Ammar has disbelieved. However, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, Ammar did not disbelieve. Ammar has not disbelieved. Verily, Ammar has been is full of iman from the major bones of his body. He's full of iman from up to the major bones of his body. So the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he negated that Ammar had disbelieved. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. after the that which took place in the story of Ammar. And the Sheikh continued, and he said that this compulsion is, as the statement of the Sheikh, the author, Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he said that the person who is in a state of faith, this person is not considered in a state of compulsion. Yes, he is not forced. The person who is in a state of faith, except when he is forced by way of torture, threatening to torture him or to beat him or maybe to even kill him. Yes, and our Sheikh, the Sheikh continues, says, our Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, rahimullah, he said, there's an issue here. There is an issue of, does the compulsion, or is the compulsion considered an excuse by statement or by statement and action? Yes, so the compulsion, does it have to be only with statement or with statement and action when a person forces you? Yes. So Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi said there's an issue on this, or this this affair needs to be clarified. And this is, he said that Ammar, may Allah be pleased with him, Ammar, he did not prostrate to any of the idols of the polytheist. Ammar, he did not prostrate to any of their idols, and he did not also sacrifice to any of them, and he did not worship any of them. However, he only spoke and he uttered a statement of disbelief. Yes, but he did not act upon this statement of disbelief. So the Sheikh Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi continues saying, so now is the action similar to the statement only? Saying the statement and acting upon it, is it similar just to saying it? The Sheikh said, like for example, the one who they request from him to prostrate to an idol. Like the person, they compel him and they order him to prostrate to an idol, or to fall into or to perform any type of action which is considered shirk or disbelief. Yes? So can the person say that this the action of this person when he's prostrating in front of an idol is the similar action to that of Ammar? May Allah be pleased with him. Rather, it is different. Yes, because Ammar, may Allah be pleased with him, he only said it with his tongue. He did not actually act upon it. And the Sheikh said in the hadith of the fly, the dhubab, in the hadith of the fly, when the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that a man entered paradise because of a fly, and another person entered hellfire because of a fly as well. So the Sheikh said in this hadith, which was mentioned by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and also by Abu Nu'aym in the book Al-Hulya. But this hadith, the Sheikh said, has been declared weak hadith by Sheikh Al-Albani. So Sheikh Ahmed al-Najmi, he says, and if this hadith was authentic, in the case that this hadith was authentic, then this serves as a proof, or this acts as a proof, that you distinguish between statement and action. You distinguish between saying something and acting upon it. So the Sheikh said, if this hadith was authentic, then it is a proof that statement is different than action. Yes, so the person who is compelled to do something, the person who is compelled, alhamdulillah, the person who is compelled, the person who is compelled to do something and he acts upon it, so he is compelled to say something and he acted upon that, he actually acted and he carried out the action of disbelief, then this person, the Sheikh said, he enters the hellfire because he acted upon it. Yes, even if that which the action of disbelief was, for example, in referring to the hadith, if he sacrificed even a fly to the idols, or even a camel, small as a fly or big as a camel, yes, because he acted upon it, then this person will be in the hellfire. So the Sheikh said, so the compulsion is by way, here the what the Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab is referring to, the compulsion here is only by statement. When the person is compelled to do something, he says it only by statement, not with action as well. So you have to distinguish between the two. So you say it and you do not act upon it. And then the Sheikh Abdullah Najmi, Hafidhullah, he continues and he says, so the affair here, or the issue here, from the author, he mentions this the issue of one being compelled. He said he mentioned it because of its danger, how important it is, and because of its danger. And he also mentioned that these nullifiers, it is upon the Muslim to warn from them and be aware of them, even if the person was just jesting. Even if the person was just jesting, so it's upon the Muslim to be aware of them. To the extent that some of the Salaf used to say that the Muslim should be aware of leaving Islam without realizing. Some of the Salaf used to say the person has to be careful that he does not leave the fold of Islam without realizing, without knowing. All of that, all of these statements from the scholars and from the Salaf, the Sheikh said, because of its danger. About saying something, you fall into something that takes you out of Islam, even if you were joking about it. So the Sheikh said it's because of its danger, that's why the Salaf used to say this. And he said, Habibullah continued, he said, our Sheikh Zayd al-Madkhali, may Allah preserve him, he said, it is upon the Muslim to be aware of these nullifiers and be aware of falling into them, whether by way of foolishness or by way of ignorance. He has to be aware of them, he has to be aware of them, and he does not prevent himself from falling into them except by seeking knowledge. The person does not prevent himself from falling into any of them except by learning them and seeking knowledge about them and having ignorance towards any of these nullifiers, the Sheikh said, then this may lead to the person falling into them. Yes, and this is what breaks the person's back. When he's ignorant of it and he falls into it. The Sheikh said, this is what breaks someone's back. Then the Sheikh Abdullah Najmi Hafidullah continued and he said, and the Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahab, Rahimullah, he warned and he said that it is upon the Muslim to be aware and also fear for himself to fall into any of those. As Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he said, supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدَ الشَّيْطَانِ, and prevent me and my offspring to worship Satan, to worship the shaitan. Yes, and Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab, he made a chapter in Kitab al-Tawheed, and he titled it the chapter of fearing shirk for yourself. The chapter of fearing shirk for yourself. And he mentioned in that chapter, as the Shaykh said, he said, and who feels secure from shirk after Ibrahim alayhi salam supplicated with this? Who from us feels secure from falling into shirk when Ibrahim alayhi salam, he feared for himself shirk? So after Ibrahim, who is secure? So the Sheikh said, it is upon the Muslim to preserve his tongue. It is upon the Muslim to preserve his tongue, as it was narrated from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, whosoever believes in Allah and the last day, then let him say something good or remain silent. So the Sheikh said, the person, he should say something good, something which is beneficial, good speech, or let him remain silent. And also the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, whoever can guarantee me to preserve that which is between his two cheekbones and between his two thighs, I will guarantee him Jannah. Whosoever can guarantee me that which is between his two cheekbones, his tongue, and that which is between his two thighs, meaning his private parts, then I will guarantee him Jannah. So the Sheikh said, it is upon us to preserve our tongues except from beneficial and good speech. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to count for him. The people used to count for him that in one sitting he would say, Allahumma ighfir li wa tub alayhi, oh Allah, forgive me and bestow your forgiveness upon me. Yes, in one sitting he would say up to 70 times. They would count for him. He would say that in one sitting. So the Sheikh said, so it is not befitting and it is not correct that the Muslim he makes the religion, the verses of Allah, and he takes them as a way of as a joke and something to mock about and or to jest around with. And especially, and also likewise, the affairs of the religion, as some people do, the Sheikh said, they make jokes. They make up jokes and start saying it to each other to make the people laugh and about the affairs of the religion. They mention things in the religion and they will joke about them. And the Sheikh said, so the person has to be careful because this takes you outside of Islam, even if you were just joking. This takes you outside of Islam, outside the fold of Islam, whether you're doing it in a state of يعني, being serious or if you're jesting only. Except the one who's compelled. Yes? And the compulsion here is only when you're compelled, you only react to that if you're compelled by way يعني, of beating and suffering or torturing or even threatening you to torture you, then you only utter the statement with your tongue, as Ammar, may Allah be pleased with him, did. Only with the tongue, without action. As in the story of Ammar. So the Shaykh said, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prevent us from falling into any of these nullifiers. Yes, and the Shaykh said also that the Muslim always should supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant him firmness upon the religion. And also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from his supplication, he used to say that, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you, that I associate a partner with you without realizing. And forgive me for that which I do not know, or for that which I do not know of. So the Shaykh said, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the conclusion of this book, we ask him to benefit us from that which we have learned, or to benefit us with that which we have learned, and also to act upon it. And may the peace and salutations of Allah be upon Muhammad and upon his companions and his family. The verse, I made a mistake in the verse, which is regarding Ibrahim alayhi salam. He said, وَجْنُبْ لِيُوبَنِيَ أَنْ نَعْبُدُ الْأَصْنَامِ. Yes, I said shaitan, it's asnam, idols. And prevent me and my offspring from worshipping the idols. Naam? So I apologize for the mistake. It was asnam rather, idols. As we have concluded this book, so the next lesson, inshallah, next week, the Shaykh said, we will start a new book, which is the four fundamental principles. Naam? Qawa'id Arba' by Shaykh Sami Hamd Abdul Wahab as well. So from next week, a new book, bi-idhnillah. Naam?